Hi, this is Paul Pachter, President and CEO of Long Island Cares, the Harry Chapin Regional Food Bank, and welcome back to another episode of our Breaking Bread podcast. My guest on this episode is Robert LaBarbera, better known as Bob. Bob is the Vice President for Procurement and Supply Chain Management at Long Island Cares. Bob, thanks so much for coming in to do the show.
Great. Hello, Paul. Thank you for having me.
Okay, quiet down. People are very excited. Once you talk about procurement, they get on a tangent. So for those of you listening, let me explain Bob's role within Long Island Cares. Bob oversees the purchasing of all of the food that we distribute. And currently, we have distributed, as of September 30th of 2023, this year, more than 10 million pounds of food to our 325 member agencies throughout Nassau and Suffolk County. Bob, how significant, well, I don't even have to say how significant, we know it is significant for an organization such as ours to have food available to support our member agencies. How much of all the food do we distribute, ballpark figure, is purchased by you,
right,
as opposed to coming in through donations?
Sure. As of now, it's roughly about a third in each category. So purchased, donated, and that what we get from the USDA.
Right.
So it's falling evenly into probably a third of each.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, the demand is so high right now, so the emphasis is on purchasing as much as we can to keep the inventory high and to keep food available.
Mm-hmm. How do you go about purchasing the food? What are the policies that you've developed, that you follow? Do you coordinate with other people? And how do you make your decisions?
Sure. So most of the time, it all starts with the funding source. Where are we going to fund the purchase from? So, and that puts us into different categories.
Mm-hmm.
So when we are purchasing through our HPNAP funding, we are looking at the most nutritious food, a well-balanced selection for our menu. Very often, I will consult with our nutrition team to make sure that it's a good selection. If we move into a different category like Nourish New York funding, then now we're focusing on all New York State, local farms, local suppliers, if we can, partnering with Feeding New York State. So, you know, there's different variables that go into the decision when we make a purchase.
So you're seeking input from our nutrition staff. And as you mentioned earlier, you know, you talk about purchasing food under the HPNAP program. For those of you that are not familiar with HPNAP, that stands for the Hunger Prevention Nutrition Assistance Program, which Long Island Cares administers with funding from the New York State Department of Health. And the Nourish New York program, as you said, Bob, is all about fresh produce and New York and Long Island grown or caught. When you set out to purchase food, and you're hearing from our member agencies that perhaps they want white rice or brown rice, or they want to have canned tuna, but along with the tuna, they have to have, you know, mayonnaise with it as well. How do you go about identifying a vendor where you're going to purchase food from?
So we currently have a list of vendors that we use on a regular basis.
Mm-hmm.
We know that they're good, reliable vendors. They have strong pricing. They're able to deliver the product within the required amount of time. But then we typically go through a bidding process.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll send out a bid list. We'll look at what comes back to us, the pricing, the lead time, and we'll take a look at that. And also the nutritional value. For example, so I just purchased cereal, but this is where I worked with the nutritionist to say, is it low sugar? Does it meet the requirements? Does it have enough grain? You know, all the factors to make it healthy, all right? We do this, so we look at low sodium, low sugar, to make it a healthy choice. If we're purchasing milk, you know, 1%, and that'll all go out on bid, and then we'll take a look at it, and we'll make the selection from there.
And usually, how many bids do you need to get before you actually make a decision?
Well, we should have three, mm-hmm. but I usually will get more than that. I'll look to maybe get five or six because I want to see what's available to us. Not always will the supplier have the availability mm-hmm. or the exact product that I'm looking for.
Right.
So then, you know, it helps me say, okay, I can move to a different selection.
And you mentioned something that I find is very interesting, but yet also very true. The point of price purchase is not the only consideration that you have when you approve an order or, you know, approve a vendor. As you said, you're looking at lead times on how long it's going to take from the point that you order it to the time it winds up in our warehouse. Let's talk for a minute about the 2.5 years that all of us experienced the COVID pandemic. And that was a very challenging time in terms of the supply chain. Give us a little idea of what was going on during COVID in terms of trying to get food to the food bank and where we're at now. Has it greatly improved? Are we just in a new place where we have to accept that things are going to take longer to bring in? Because that, of course, winds up frustrating our member agencies.
Sure.
That it's taking so long. And I know for a fact that it frustrates you because you'd like to get the food in and out as soon as you possibly can. So talk a little bit about the supply chain.
Sure thing. So if you roll back 2 years, we were experiencing long delays, 3 to 4 weeks on an order that should take less than a week to arrive. There was numerous back orders and we were getting very inconsistent answers about when it would become available. Some of our core foods, things just like canned items and fruits and vegetables and canned chicken and things that we typically stock, breakfast food, it was very unreliable. Things have improved to the point now where it's kind of normalized in the sense that it'll take maybe a week or so now,
mm-hmm.
all right? There's still demand for certain things like when we look to source, let's say, chicken or an occasion ground beef,
mm-hmm.
We have to wait for the supplier to be back in stock.
Okay.
But that's typically not more than 2 weeks on certain things. And chickens, they do like a harvest like every 2 to 3 months. Mm. So as long as we get the timing down,
mm-hmm.
then we can, you know, pre-order and be on board for that.
I want to switch gears for a second because it's one thing to oversee the purchasing of food. And by the way, what do you estimate by the time 2023 is over? What's your estimate about how much money Long Island Cares will spend either through our government grants, private donors, on food purchases?
Right. So I would say we're at a point right now in dollars that mm-hmm. we've spent about $4.5 million, somewhere in that range. Mm-hmm. So it'd probably be up near $6 million, I would say, just in our purchasing. We will get food from other sources,
mm-hmm, right.
But the way it's trending and based on the pounds that, you know, we are distributing right now mm-hmm. and purchasing, I would think it would be in that range.
$6 million approximately spent on food purchases. You know, I think the general public for most of the part would be surprised to hear that we spend that much money on food mm-hmm. purchases. I think many people have a misunderstanding about how a food bank gets its food. I think many people think that food drives the network when it only represents about 23% to 25% of the food that we get. One of the areas that food is coming in very well, more than 3 million pounds probably this year, is our retail rescue program. And that's one of the areas that I really think you and your staff have excelled in. You have this way about establishing collaborative relationships with companies such as Costco or King Cullen or Stop and Shop. How much of a benefit do you feel the retail rescue program has been to the food bank overall?
Sure. That's a terrific program for us. We have a great partnership with the retail donors that you just mentioned, the mm-hmm. grocery stores, the clubs, the suppliers, And what that does is that allows us to go and receive donations daily. Mm-hmm. So that's very quick into the system, into the inventory, back out to the agencies. So that moves much faster than purchased food or USDA food because it's arriving on a daily basis. And it's, mm-hmm. and it's a large variety of food. Whether it's produce or dry goods, it allows us to have a good list that we can make available.
Mm-hmm. And you also spoke earlier about core items. Mm-hmm. And, you know, you've been part of the discussions with the President's Council, the 25 largest organizations that we support. And those organizations identified the core 18. You know, we're talking about things like cereal and oatmeal and cooking oil and, you know, certain proteins like chickens and ground beef. And you've stayed, you know, you've really stayed focused on that because those are the kind of items that a local food pantry probably always needs to have in their own inventories. But to continue a little bit about with Retail Rescue, one of the things that I've always been interested in is the amount of product that's donated to Long Island Cares by Amazon. And Amazon, as we all know, is a major player, not only online, but in terms of a brick and mortar store, such mm-hmm. as, you know, their facility in Oceanside. And then I think it's Melville, they have a facility.
Bethpage, right?
Bethpage. Mm-hmm. Amazon, most recently, the last month, September, donated over 100,000 pounds of food and other products. And most of the other products we're looking at our household supplies. We've seen things like, you know, bookcases and pillows and other things like that. And I think a lot of people don't realize that in several cases, if you make a return to Amazon, sometimes it might not be cost effective for Amazon to put the product back into the inventory. Case in point, you buy an electronic, you know, maybe it's something to connect to your smartphone. Mm-hmm. And it's manufactured in China, and the whole thing, you know, retails for about $12. Well, it's not cost effective for Amazon to send it back to the seller in China, so it comes to Long Island Cares. And we get all these interesting products that, you know, many of us have never seen before. And to me, it's part of the excitement of working in a food bank. But I digress. That's not really the major issue for me. What I'd like to speak to you is what are some of the challenges you're seeing in procuring food these days? I know one of the things that you've really sounded the alarm on for all of us at Long Island Cares is the current price per pound. In your last monthly report, you identified our current price per pound at $1.81. When if I go back 5 years ago, 6 years ago, we were paying 79 cents a pound. So how is the cost of goods going up so substantially impacted your role at the food bank?
Sure. We are seeing a steady trend of the price, the cost per pound rising. That is a concern. When I purchase, when I try to stay within a budget, when I try to get the best value for what we are purchasing, when I talk to our advisory team, our food committee, mm-hmm. which has senior executives on this team from throughout the industry, mm-hmm. right? And, you know, I share my concerns with them. They're all saying the same thing. You know, the cost of fuel is still driving, the inflation cost, the other variables that drive up price. Makes it very concerning when we start to look, 6 months out and mm-hmm. try to decide, all right, are we going to be able to continually stock this product or are we going to have issues with having the proper budget for it?
Right, sure. So those, I mean, when you look at the price we're paying going up, what can you possibly do? I mean, are you doing competitive bidding sure. amongst different vendors? Because it's pretty hard to justify. Look, the marketplace says it's $1.81 a pound, but I know given the budget I have, it would be better if I could only spend $1.49 a pound.
Yeah.
So you have to make hard decisions. Can you actually go out there and purchase a specific item that people want, or do you change gears and go after something else similar in nature?
Well, we do all of that. We do get competitive pricing, but the market tends to move consistently. So most of the suppliers are all moving upward at the same time.
Really?
One thing we can do, and we are doing it now, mm-hmm. is we will pre-order. We'll say we're going to book a consistent order for October, November, December, and we'll lock in a price now. All right. And
you're able to do that.
We can. And for example, a very popular item that we stock is the dairy box that mm-hmm. consists of milk, cheese, butter, and other items, mm-hmm. Sour cream. So that was fluctuating. All right. We're able to lock that in and control the cost. Mm-hmm. All right. Eggs has been another good example of fluctuating price.
Right.
So we look to pre-book that when the price tends to be a little bit lower,
mm-hmm.
and we were able to get that benefit. Our suppliers will work with us on that.
Oh, that's excellent and good to know, of course. Bob, do not take that personally. That is simply the bell, the trombone, the noise that tells us we've ran out of time. You've followed our discussion today and enjoyed the conversation between Bob LaBarbera and myself, please consider subscribing to our Breaking Bread podcast. You can find us on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Anchor Podcasts, and any other platform that you listen to your podcasts. So until next time, this is Paul Pachter, President and CEO of Long Island Cares, the Harry Chapin Regional Food Bank, and go out there and take care of one another. We'll see you next time.